Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa.
Matt.
And Jenna.
That's all of them.
That's
total, the sum total of hosting.
Math.
It's yep. been
we oh, has it.
It's been a while.
Yeah, welcome back, me.
Ugh. So, well, we're all in agreement.
Boy, I need a drink.
Right? Yeah. Holy shit, right?
Yeah, we got all kinds of nonsense
good
going on here.
We have tonight, Mackenzie's Hard Cider, an American tradition. We are having the Seasonal Reserve Hard Cider. 5% alcohol by volume.
Your face is a Seasonal Reserve.
Am I right? I've got one of those, but instead I'm going to drink Salsa's beers.
Okay, yeah, Matt wasn't here the past forever, and so he hasn't had any
week, I think.
I took a sip before you said that you were going to, like, not drink this.
Oh,
that,
so. I mean, I've got one, but I've got two beers ahead of it.
Well, he also has my chocolate bar. Chocolate stout and the orange clove mead.
And I'm going to try both of those. Sure. So I'm going to start with the mead.
I just tried the seasonal reserve.
This smells very much like a baked apple.
It really kind. It kind of tastes like a apple cinnamon pie thing. Possibly a little pumpkiny. Like there's some clove going on in there.
Yeah,
that I
no,
really
there's
like
clove and some ooh, nutmeg like maybe.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like an apple pie with pumpkin spices.
I love
but
this.
But it is not a pumpkin spice.
No, but I love this, and I don't know why Raider Lee doesn't.
I find it acceptable. I'm not
wow, that is like a baked apple.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to go out of my way to go get it, but I will definitely drink one if it's around.
I would.
And guess what? It's around, so I'm going to drink it.
I can see this being like many other things where I want one, but I would rather perhaps a drier, crisper cider if I'm going to have like three.
See, this is hitting my happy spot.
I think that'd be just a little too sweet and cloying if I have.
I think after a bottle, yeah. But yeah. Right
but
now.
Think, like one is great. I think this would be a really nice, like after a meal, this would be an awesome cider. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a sweeter one. If you,
this would be
if
really
you like dry stuff, no.
Yeah. If like if you're
and my
like
wife
a
does
wassail
like,
or something like that, this would be awesome. Mm.
Yes.
You're going to add here so much come flavor.
You wouldn't have to add much to it. You could just heat it up and you basically got wassail.
Yeah. Hey, this thing's got a lot of the spices you want. So yeah, you throw in some port and some cloves. Oh, man.
I'm doing that now.
Yeah, Megan and I were talking about making wassail the other day. I was like, oh, we're like almost at that time. Like, today is cold as balls.
Yeah.
Like, we're finally at the point where I just want a big stock pot of wassail
on my
stove.
Oh, my God. Story
and
time.
And just turn it up every time I come home and be like, yes.
So this morning, my daughter, by the way, sold her soul to me.
At the crossroads?
No. At the Steam sale. And
a whole lot of agreement going on.
Yep. Yeah, no, she was like, so how many extra chores would I need to do for $70 worth of
bargaining
stuff? And I was like, I basically own your soul
is
for the next month.
Is it a game for $70 or is it many games?
It is several packs for a specific game that she nerds out on.
Oh,
so like a big, like, get this and all the DLC and all the sequels type thing?
No, it's like an online card game.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I feel like it's slightly better than investing in Magic cards because those aren't going to tear, rip, break, or otherwise.
And
like, she's not going to lose them.
Yeah.
Like, they're all there.
And the idea of, like, the value proposition of CCG stuff, I think, is pretty much gone away at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She was really unhappy. She got three of the same legendary cards in her pack, and she was like, God.
Yeah, but if it's Steam, can you sell them in the store or trade them somehow?
I don't know.
Maybe not the Steam store. They'd have to be probably an in-game thing.
Yeah.
Steam doesn't dick with items from other markets.
Right.
But
anyway, so, yeah, she sold her soul to me, so she had to take the recycling out this morning.
What?
And
how terrible.
I know, right? Life is hard for a teenager.
I'd take the garbage out today, too. My life is hard. I'm a teenager.
But she went to take the recycling out, and it was pretty well full. And we live in these apartment buildings, like this kind of circular apartment complex thing. Uh-huh. And the recycling bin is around the corner. Like the large bin, not the small one that she was carrying. So she's carrying this bin, and she's like, oh, God, it's cold out. And then she turns the corner and just this gust
face
of
right
wind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Chicago downtown today.
But it also like took out like part of the recycling. Like it just kind of flew across the parking lot. And it was like, so I went to pick
everything
up stuff.
Everything sucks.
Yeah.
The world is awful.
What really
everything
fun, though.
Is awful.
In the, you know how you get like the hubcaps that have like the five
little
spoky type things, but you've got the little holes in there. Mm. Apparently that's the perfect size for a solo cup.
Nice.
I learned something new today. It looked really cool. I was like, I kind of want to leave that, but no. I'm not going to be that asshole.
Not today.
But yeah, no, it's freezing out. Like, but literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Not only is it actually freezing, it feels like it.
It feels like it as well.
You got a new dishwasher today.
Yay!
What's her name?
Mine's named Jessa.
Maria.
Oh, God.
Then we went from just being sexist to sexist and racist.
Yep.
Awesome.
No, we got a new dishwasher today, and the guy came and installed it, and it's all wonderful and new and shiny and wonderful. But yeah, the guy got here just as like it started to snow outside, and he was like, oh, it's going to be cold. And he was like, I'm going to have to... So he goes, starting today, I need to bring a hairdryer to all of my deliveries.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man.
Because they test those things in the warehouse, and then there's still water in them, and then they ship them on the truck, and all that freezes. Yeah. So he's like, so when I get places, I need to thaw the... I can't test it, because it's frozen solid. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, new delivery.
Just in time.
Yeah,
yeah,
well
basically,
done.
Yeah.
Timing!
Yeah,
cheers.
No,
to timing.
But I pulled the old one out because it was cheaper if I did that work.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So I removed the old one, and I get
was
there.
Was it completely non-functioning or just sucky?
Just sucky. It's old. It's from like 75.
I feel like I've
like it's
I've
older than I am, so it should probably be replaced.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's older than everyone in this room, so.
It's 40 years old.
Yeah.
It's pretty old. But
oh,
it's still
I mean,
hot.
Also, we're very close.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no.
Shit.
But for an appliance.
Sure. No, for an appliance, that's
pretty fucking old.
Yeah.
But
short
it,
of a vacuum.
It still works. Like, yeah. it doesn't work well.
I don't think I've ever had a dishwasher that worked well. Even with, like, relatively new ones. Like, have you ever
had
a dishwasher
newer
you didn't
one.
Have to, like, scrape and basically make the thing clean before you put it in there?
Yeah.
You, well, I mean, yeah, you want to give it a good rinse, but...
like, theoretically, those exist, where you can just toss all your dishes in and then
there
just...
There is, two houses ago, there was a dishwasher that had, like, the side jets.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
super,
yeah.
Oh
you
my
like
God,
super hardcore ones.
Because, yeah, so you got the bottom, you got the side, there's a top.
Little top thingy.
Something in the back.
Yeah,
I don't think it was quite
I remember
the
as
same
a kid
thing,
bitching
yeah.
about that. It's like, why am I washing the dishes before I put them in the dishwasher? And it's like, essentially, like, a dishwasher to me has always kind of just been a sanitizer.
Well,
basically.
The thing is, you know? Is if there's caked on shit, you need to, like, scrape that off. That's just...
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, think how but, hard yeah, you like have a, to work in a sink to get that off.
For sure. No, the jet is not that, but I'm just saying, like, if you were to finish a meal and, like, all the assorted, like, you know, ketchup and whatever on your plate, if you just throw them all in, like, most dishwashers I've had would not get all of that.
Oh, really?
There'd still be rice stuck to your plate.
Because most of the ones that I've like, ever had, if it's still wet, basically. Yeah.
As long as you don't block the jets, it's usually good. The problem is loading a dishwasher so that, like, the ones in the middle are still getting hit by the jets.
Right.
Like
well, and
that's
then just
that's
the idea that rarely
kind of
does a single meal produce enough dishes to run a dishwasher, so there's always some with dried gunk.
And that's one of the things that we got on this one, is it has a second set of...
It's got
of
a dried on gunk button.
Yes, it's got a second set of jets below the top rack.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Because that one of, you know, one of the problems is if you put like a big bowl in the bottom rack, then whatever's above it is just in a dead space. So this has a secondary... sprayer
that's
underneath
nice.
So all of the stuff above it gets cleaned.
We are really old.
But also the other thing you really want is like our old one had a soak cycle, and that was just basically
I said soak.
Soak.
Okay. I thought you said silk for a second. Like, that doesn't make sense.
It makes everything.
No, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I really want
my dishes
silk
are so silky.
My kids keep playing in the dishwasher. They love the silk cycle.
But what it
doesn't tumble them around.
Basically,
as much as the washer.
What it was is it just would pour water on everything and then let it sit.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it kind of
that's
gets it
just kind of soften all of the
which makes sense.
Dry gum.
Yeah. So. No, that's brilliant.
But yeah, we got the new one, but one of the reasons we loved the new one was because it was so roomy inside. Mm. Because
so that you could like curl up and take a nap.
Yes, and get all silky.
Cycle.
Exactly.
Okay.
But
now I understand.
You know, like the old one, the door was a good foot off the ground. And in this one, the door is like 4 inches above the ground.
So you get higher.
You get way more stuff inside. But because it's such a low profile, all of the fittings and stuff on the bottom are really tight to the floor.
Mm.
And that was a problem.
For Deuter installing it?
Yes. Mm. Because he looked at the electrical that I had, and it's you know those metal flexible tubes
oh,
that they use for electric?
I don't know what that's called, but yeah.
The sheathing cable cover, whatever.
The miniature robot arm.
Yeah, exactly.
The shit that looks like Bender that runs to like every junction.
Yes,
that.
Exactly. Yep. Because it was so low to the ground, it couldn't make the bend upwards.
Yeah, because they need a certain amount of...
Yeah, because its turning curve. Radius was, you know...
It's minivan, than, not VW.
Exactly. exactly. And that was a problem because that's it has to connect directly in there because that metal sheathing is the ground. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't just, like, leave it hanging or something like that.
Can you do, like, just like a little L bracket so they can come in horizontally?
But he didn't have one.
Sure.
And so, I mean, what he did was fine. He just basically drilled another hole and ran the cable into under the sink where the cable box is. And all I have to do is get my friend, who's an electrician, in here someday to, you know, rewire it at the junction box. And that'll be done. Not a problem. Yeah, super simple. Right now it's running off an extension cord. So it functions right now.
That's important.
And with a case of beer and half an hour's work from my electrician friend, it'll be all taken care of. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's all good.
Yay!
Q. Anything else going on?
I saw Jess's show.
What show is that?
She did Up the Downstairs for her school.
I think we were talking about that
it was really good.
Yeah, that's
really good.
How did they do in this adaptation? How do they do the scraps of suggestion paper?
Well, in this adaptation, instead of I don't know if you've seen other plays.
My wife's school at Columbia Heights. They actually did a version of this one.
So instead of having the scrims where people would just kind of like hide and pop out and mm-hmm. like heads would pop out and stuff. They just had everybody on stage the entire time.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and there were some freeze points and there were some whatevers. They had an actual suggestion box. And then, like, people would read their thing before they put it in.
Okay.
But, like, everybody else would freeze. So, like, you could tell it was just them just doing their thing.
Right. It was a moment in time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it was actually really well done because they definitely, like, they set up the different classrooms and then, like, the principal's office and stuff like that. So you could see, like, all the students doing their various things at various points. And the staging was really well done in that, like, it was never distracting mm-hmm. what was going on elsewhere.
Very cool.
So
stuff was happening over there, but it wasn't drawing attention.
But it wasn't happening. It was just like, there's still stuff going on over there.
You and my wife are going to have to talk about that.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. Well, and they made, like, so their drops were actually just, like, frames, basically. Like, door frames and wall frames. And it was, they did it all very 60s style, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got that 60s blocking style thing going on, and the main classroom, the main teacher's classroom, was actually down in the orchestra pit.
Oh.
And they had stairs going from the stage down to the orchestra pit.
Right.
So that they could reference the stairs. Oh. And you could see as the more rebel guy class student was... anytime he went up the stairs, he went up the downstairs and then down the upstairs. Mm-hmm. Everybody else did it the right way.
Very cool.
It was just, and there were so many little tiny bits and pieces of things that the characters did and all of that throughout. It was fantastic.
That were just characterization things, but not like, look at me things.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. It is a show that was worth seeing two or three times to see what you could pick out the next
time. Oh, yeah. I love
those shows.
I destroyed the book growing up, and then when my wife's school did it 5 years ago now or something like that, I went and saw it and just absolutely loved it. I'm sorry I couldn't make it this time around. Yeah. I was sick
you
as shit.
You are sorry you couldn't make it this time around.
I was sick as shit. My whole family was sick as shit.
Everyone's run through that, I think, in the last couple weeks.
I was not feeling good.
I've been, like, trading off who's sick at work for, like, 2 weeks now.
This was my whole family. I started not feeling well last Wednesday and finally went home early on Friday, got home, and then I was not feeling well, and then my wife got hit by a ton of bricks. And so she was really not well. She was bedridden, basically. And so... I was not feeling well, but I was the better feeling one, so I was caring for her and the kids while feeling like shit. And then on Monday, our babysitter turns around halfway here, calls me and says, I got to throw up. I'm going home. And it was like, well, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think I was sick from like Saturday-ish through like Wednesday night, Thursday morning-ish.
Yeah.
Wow. And my goal was just like, do nothing. Yeah. I didn't go to like improv. I didn't record.
I would love to have gone and done nothing, like, but yeah, I couldn't.
That was the nice thing. I was like, well, the thing I want to try to make sure I do is the dinner Thursday with the boy. So if I skip all the other shit in between,
yeah,
I might be fine for that, and then I won't get him sick. And that turned out to be okay, and then it was good, and then he was able to come over for the weekend, and everything was fine. But
my birthday was last weekend, too. So I went home early. Cheers. On Friday. Cheers. Feeling shitty, and then basically spent all day in bed on Friday. Yeah. Got up and we went to my birthday dinner, mm-hmm. which was sushi.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
No, it's not a good one, but. Fuck you, I'm having sushi.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've done
my best to power through.
And then we both woke up on Saturday going, regretting that.
Yeah, gotta give
it
now.
And then...
God, I want sushi now.
But
I
then know, right? my birthday party was Saturday night, and we went and watched hockey. And I was feeling a lot better.
You posted something about that. Where was that? What did you go to?
Okay, so here's the... You've got, obviously, NHL, which is top-level professional... Then you've got the AHL, which is still professional, but it's, you know, the minor league. And then you've got all of the, like, semi-pro leagues, where the people get paid, but they still have real jobs. And we've got a league around here called the...
Oh, kind of like working for Fearless.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
We're
not the Guthrie yet.
So around here, we've got a league called the NAHL, the North American Hockey League. And there's a team, the Minnesota Magicians... That plays.
I love that name so much.
No,
oh, God.
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, wait. There's going to be a hat trick pun coming up.
Oh, my God. Actually, is there a rabbit?
No.
Is there a rabbit? Hold on.
Okay. No, I want to keep guessing things. I want to keep raising expectations.
Is it a card trick? Oh, rope.
You guys are so close. But anyway.
penalty box that gets sawed in half.
God, yes.
That would be great.
The goalie wears sequins.
only if the refs are all dressed as lovely assistants.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, this team plays just 5 minutes down the road from me.
Okay.
What the hell is 5 minutes down the road from me that has a hockey rink?
A hockey rink.
No shit, Sherlock.
Well, then there you go.
That's all it is.
But is it like a decent size like thinger, or is it just like the same thing like a high school play?
It's actually my brother-in-law. That's the rink that he and his brother like did their summer training in. It's the Richfield Ice Arena.
Okay,
it's cool. It's got two rinks. You know.
That's a pretty good size, then.
Yeah.
Around here, that's pretty standard.
Sure, I suppose for in the cities. I mean, I'm just used to, like, being out in Shakopee, where it was, like, you had this tiny-ass little thing, and then they, like, revamped it, and we had, like, a decent-sized one still.
I thought you guys just froze over a pond or something.
They did do a lot of that.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. But no,
there were outdoor
rinks. Most of the ones here in the Twin Cities have two rinks.
Okay.
St. Paul, Bloomington, Richfield, most of them have two rinks. But, you know, one of them, this NAHL team plays on. And, They play a lot of teams. You know, there's a couple teams in northern Minnesota. There's like a team in Bismarck and in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And there's two teams in Alaska, and then like a couple teams in Wisconsin, and then like one.
Those teams have the worst records ever because they forfeit because it's too expensive to fly down. So they're like, we lose every time we practice real hard.
but I mean, it's like 12 teams, kind of mostly in the upper central, you know, United States, and then some in Alaska.
I think it's just really cool they let Alaska play.
And they still get their asses handed to them by, like, Waro Grosso.
But it's like 10...
Local joke.
Yeah. We'll get to local work. But it's $10 to go see a game.
Yeah.
Nice.
My friend Emily, you know, showed up for a game.
Oh,
and she was like... And she bought a hot dog for $2.50, you know?
Really?
And she was just like... $12.50 for a hockey game and a hot dog.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
and there's
fucking
says you can only get one hot dog, right?
Oh, no, you fucking as many as you want.
So I feel like $10 is my admission to a hot dog festival.
Basically, yeah. Well, and the way we found this place originally was my wife found a Groupon.
Oh,
which
was
God, I love
Groupon. $10 for a hockey game and a beer.
Oh, that's hella cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. And the beer they've got
also from California all of a sudden. Yeah. And the '90s.
But their, you know, their concession stand has kind of your standard fare. They got popcorn and nachos and
soda and stuff like that. Rink,
and then there's a beer stand in the rink
like
itself.
That tastes better at a hockey rink. Like
Absolutely.
Food tastes better in
absolutely.
A sports
arena. Yeah, the hot dog itself is just this like tiny little fucking
it's nothing
Oscar
special,
Mayer wiener,
but you want that shit because you're like, yeah.
And they've got Surly.
Gotta take my gloves out to eat this.
Yeah, they've got like they've got Surly Furious.
Oh, nice. There. It's actually like quality beer, even.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I mean, they've also got Coors Light and, and stuff like that. Yeah, but I actually, at one point, I went up to get a beer and I asked for a Surly, and they started pouring it, and halfway through, empty. So they're like, well, we've got to switch the keg out. And as I was standing there waiting, this guy walks up. Sets down a glass and he goes, this is a Surly. I ordered a Coors Light. Mm. And so they poured him a Coors Light and gave him that. And I was just like,
I'll just take it.
I'll
just take that one. And so they gave that one to me.
And they're like, you filthy carny.
Whatever. It was still full.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was still full. What if they're going to dump it out?
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, they were going to dump it out.
I was taking that as well.
And I was going to have to wait for them to swap that.
I was like, I get to keep this half one too.
Yeah.
I'll take that, guys, if I get to keep this half. Deal.
There you go.
So, otherwise, you're throwing both of those.
So that guy confused the hell out of me, but whatever.
Yeah. No accounting for taste.
But again, all of this is happening while I'm still kind of feeling only about 75-80%.
Sure.
But fuck you, I was going to enjoy this because it was a lot of fun. And it was. We had quite a few people show up. I won't say a lot of names because most people listening don't care.
Right.
But, you know, I'm probably good 10 people.
More people can show up for my shit. That's good.
Absolutely.
You're obviously well liked.
You have shit?
No, but if I were to, that's why I don't, because they would just be like, oh, cool, no one came again.
I think I may have talked about this before, but they've got this thing called Chuck-a-Puck. Where what you do is for $5 you get 6 foam hockey pucks. Okay.
Okay, like light foam hockey
pucks? Yeah, super light foam hockey pucks. And each one has a number written on them in Sharpie. And the bag that it comes in has the corresponding numbers written on them in Sharpie.
Okay.
And during the second intermission, a bunch of kids take these pucks and they chuck them on the ice. And whichever puck is closest to the center dot wins something.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like the first time we were there, it was like a turkey.
Cool.
What?
Yeah, so you're getting some pretty nice stuff.
I like turkey.
Exactly. Shit, and it's $5. The kids fucking love it. My daughter goes crazy. She can't throw more than 5 feet in front of us.
But she
takes that bag and chucks those pucks onto the ice, you know? And it's a lot of fun, but it's just funny. You're sitting there. The first time we were there, we're just sitting there like, oh, you know, second intermission, and suddenly, chuck those pucks, and just whoosh, there's hundreds of these pucks come flying from every direction. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
That's cool. I like this idea.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot more family-friendly atmosphere than like a professional game.
It's like going to a Saints game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, somebody else made that reference. It's supposed to be fun. But these guys...
I guess technically some professional sports teams think that what they do is fun, too. They're just wrong.
No. Sports are serious business, you guys.
But all
and
of,
soups.
But the thing is not only is it fun, but these guys are really good.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the...
between NHL or, you know, NFL...
Professional,
or NBA,
yeah.
Versus, you know, not, can be a hair's breadth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you, you know, baseball's on emotional... If you have a batting average of, like, .287, you're in the... Major League.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a batting average of, like, .267, I've never heard of you. And, like, it can be that. And it's just, like, that's the difference of, like, one or two more hits per season.
Oh, yeah.
It can be just a razor's edge.
I'm throwing out a number here, but if 100 people get drafted, mm-hmm. 101 is still pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's where these guys go. And they're,
which
I
is
mean,
the same thing when we watch, like, the local wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Those guys are great. They're not going to be on television anytime soon, there's, most of them. But like, they know what they're doing. It's really fun.
But, I mean, there are a couple guys from Moscow.
Oh, amateur sports.
There was a couple guys from Moscow. There was a guy from Germany playing next to people that grew up in Bloomington.
That's cool.
And, you know, Long Lake and stuff like that. They're actually, while we were sitting there, this elderly woman was sitting pretty close to me, and she kept yelling, "Go, Logan," or something like that. So yelling some first name. I was like, "Do you know one of the players?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, number 19's my nephew."
Aww,
and it was like, so we started cheering for him. My whole section was cheering for him.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
If you've got no personal investment, find one. Like, that's cool.
But it was a lot of fun, you know, to watch some really good hockey players in a very light atmosphere with really inexpensive and a bunch of good friends.
Yeah. Well, like I've said before, like I've gone to a couple Wild games and it's been really fun both times, but I can't afford to ever do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I actually don't mind watching hockey. That's the one professional sport.
And when there's only 100 people in the stands, every seat is on the glass.
Which is nice.
You know, you're right there.
Yeah, you can kind of be wherever you want to be and as close as you want to be.
Nice. But their mascot is a magician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Named Presto.
Of course.
And he's got the big, huge mascot hat, you know, head, you know, and everything like
with
that.
With a giant top hat.
Yes! He absolutely does.
Excellent.
And he wears
it's not Wizard Row, but like dressed up fancy magician.
No.
Turn of the century magician.
On the logo, he's got the cape, but on the mascot itself just has one of the hockey jerseys with Presto written across the back. But what he does is during the intermissions, he skates around, and there's a lot of kids that go to these games. Like a lot of people.
If he does close-up magic, I'm gonna punch you in the dick. Salsa's backing away.
Yes! Oh my god! Yes!
They actually got something they can both skate and do close-up magic. Which I mean, it's just you.
He does. He does shtick.
Oh, that's so good.
But he absolutely does. He like I said. I mean, the number of people like 5 years old, from 5 to 15 years old, that go to these games is there's a lot of them. And so what he does is he skates around and he skates up to these groups of kids and he does some sticky magic, and then he skates away, and you know it's simple stuff that you buy in a magic shop.
I mean David Blaine made a career on that. That's totally
acceptable. I once took improv with a magician who is also an ushertainer for the Saints.
Huh? Oh, fun.
And I think it would be fantastic if he was the same guy that was now that doing would be the mascot.
Like,
this.
You know where the real money is,
right?
You know the velvet bag that you unzip the bottom and put your hand through, but it's got the secret pocket. Like he would put a hockey puck in there and make it disappear, or he had the levitating wand, you know, thing, and just simple you know magic that you can
That's
buy
all you have time for though.
Well, yeah. But, you know, he'd skate up to a group and entertain them a little bit and then skate away and do other stuff, you know, and then later he would take the skates off and walk around the crowd and fist bump kids. Stuff
that's
like
really
that.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah, no.
Actually, that's way cooler to me even than the hockey then.
Yeah, and so, like really little
maybe
bit,
not cooler than the hot dog.
My kids loved him right up until the point that he was going to fist bump them, and then they were backing away.
What?
Like, whoa, no, this guy's big
Salsa,
and scared.
Not taught
He's
your kids
fucking
to appreciate
huge.
The best Fair.
No, this is the best thing. Is both of my kids were like, no,
yeah, mascot fear.
Get
is
me
a
the
big,
fuck away.
Big
he,
deal.
Well,
yeah.
his head's huge. And
yeah, no, for
weird.
Sure. I mean, you know, like the boy's gone to Disney World since he was 2.
Yeah,
maybe 3. And like there, you can see in the photos of each trip as his mascot fear does. And there's a weird bell curve on that where it's like terror, spooky, unsure. Okay, I want to kick your ass. That's kind of where kids go
but
with
it was,
that.
They
eventually are just like, I feel like some.
I think
some
Asher's
reptile part
kind
of my
all
brain
over.
Remembers being scared of you, and I'm going to take it out on this guy.
Well, see, Asher was like backing up and like kind of freaked out
How
by the guy.
Know?
A 1.5.
Okay, yeah. That's perfectly
exactly.
terrified range.
But after he walked away, like he walked away and got like 10, 15 feet away, and then Asher stood up and was like, ah!
Yeah,
like fist bump me.
You're smaller because of distance.
Fist bump me.
Yeah,
and he looks so forlorn. Like, come back and fist bump
Austin
me.
Austin did the same exact thing. Whether it was like Disney World or like Sharky at the Mall of America, they'd come up and he'd be like, and just like shrink down to the smallest size possible. Which for him, it's pretty small.
Yeah,
in
right?
like his stroller or whatever. And then the thing would go by, and he'd like look. And once I got a safe distance away, he'd be like, it's so-and-so. And we're like, yeah, asshole. Like, they were right in front of you, willing to interact with you. But, yeah, they need that distance to be, like,
so
uncomfortable.
But, yeah, this place is so much fun. They play every weekend, like Friday and Saturday.
Nice.
And so, I mean, you just check the schedule and see if they're playing at home or away. And for a Friday or Saturday night, you know, like, $15, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah, we'll have to do that sometime. I'd like to check that out. I'll bring the boys sometime.
But getting near the end of the game, it's like 4-1 at this point. We're killing them. It was really, really close at the beginning, like scoreless after the first, and then they scored first, and then we fucking dominated at that point. But it's near the end of the game. I'm like cleaning Asher off. He's sitting in my lap. I'm wiping shit off. And I've got my daughter. This is already way past their bedtime, so she's like laying on my lap, like trying not to be tired, as kids do. And suddenly, a streak of black goes past my face. And I like look over, and I think it hits my daughter's foot. and it just missed her.
Oh, fun.
And hit my landlord, who was sitting next to her. But he had a big fluffy coat on, and it hit him right in the pocket. He didn't realize that a puck had just flown out of the arena and hit him in the side.
Jesus.
He thought that my daughter had just accidentally kicked him.
Right.
He was completely unaware.
Oh,
but a puck went flying right past me, like inches away from my face.
Nice.
So I got a souvenir for my birthday.
Yay!
So
there you go.
But yeah, super, super, super fun. If anybody is interested in hockey and lives, you know, in the area, look up the NAHL, because they're a lot of fun and they're really inexpensive. And like I was talking to my friend Emily, I was just like, you know, I enjoy the Wild because they're the local team, but I like hockey, mm-hmm. and to go watch hockey for $10, I'm in.
Sure,
like fuck yeah. So anyway, that's what I did during my weekend in between bouts of huddling over the
awfulness.
Toilet.
Yeah. What have I done lately? It's weird. I'm still adjusting to not having a lot to do.
Right.
Which is strange. my parents are like, hey, what do you got coming up? I'm like, well, I mean, the same podcast as usual, and I got, you know, the same monthly shows as usual, but, like, I don't have, like, a new show I'm really prepping for, and, like, I don't really have the next audition really on the horizon.
Not during Harbingers?
I think we'll be in Disney World.
Okay.
When that shows up. I got to double check the dates, but I think I won't be there for the performances, so therefore, okay. No. I was hoping to do that show, actually. I really wanted to audition for it. I got to double check. If I can, I will.
Yeah, you should.
It's weird. I kind of don't have an answer. Like, that's odd. But, the most interesting things that have happened to me in the last couple of weeks is my bathroom finally got remodeled. Did I talk about that last time? I think that just happened more recently.
You discussed it.
We were getting it done, but yeah, so, like, that happened.
You no longer had eyes peering at you through the wall.
Well, that was actually in the kitchen.
Oh, all right.
My entire bathroom got gutted, removed, and replaced in the course of, like, 4 days by my landlord and his brother and his dad. And so it went from having, like, the gross, like, soft pink color that, like, my grandma had from the 50s
yep.
to just, like, a nice white, clean bathroom. Brand new entire tub was taken out, whole new tub shower thing put in. Still the really awesome big, like, flying saucer huge shower head. But now it's mounted, like, a foot and a half higher.
Oh, nice.
So when I stand under
it, you can fit under it.
It's still a foot over my head.
Oh, nice.
That's how tall it is, which is astounding. I'm, like, 6'2". Wow. So this is, like, one of the few times in my life I've not had to hunch to get under a shower head, which is so nice.
Ah, it's so wonderful being short.
No, I know, right? But no, that's one of the things, like, oh, you know, tall people problems. But, like, almost always having to duck to get under a shower head, and almost always having to duck to see myself in a mirror in, like, a vanity.
That was one of the first
really
things.
Nice, not that to worry.
One of the
that.
First things I did when we moved into this place was buy one of those big S pipes
so
that
weird.
Raises up
yep.
the.
And so it's head. Got that. But even if it was just the old school kind, it would still be above my head. So that's great. And so yeah, like all new fucking floor, all new walls, all new ceiling, all new tub,
nice.
All new shower. Same sink, but now it has a built-in cabinet under it, which is really nice. Toilet's the same, and then the the cabinet's the same, but those are all just basic white, simple anyway.
Right.
So who cares? The only little snag we had there was that like it only got to like lukewarm after they were done, and I was like, Like I live in a block of condos, like you don't really run out of hot water.
Yeah.
Right.
And after a couple days, I was like, nope, something's wrong. So I called up Duder, and he's just like, yeah, I'll swing by on Sunday. And he came by, and he's like, oh. Okay,
and he flipped the little lever.
Pops off the thing, turns the thing, and I was like, yeah, because I tried adjusting the knobs for just like a hot and cold water thing. Oh, maybe they didn't turn them all the way back on. I was like, nah, there's something else going on, but I didn't quite know how to just tweak it under the faucet.
Right.
Yeah.
But I watched him do it. I'm like, okay, cool. I can adjust this as much as I want now.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's like fully functional. It's fully functional shower, and so so nice. The bathtub is I think probably 4 inches deeper than it used to be, which is also
it armed
nice.
And operational.
It is fully operational.
I had a date like that once.
Right.
Okay.
So that's excellent, and I've gotten most of my apartment cleaned up now from drywall dust. That's been the thing.
Yeah,
because they actually did tape off. They taped off the hallway to try to like minimize, but yeah, there's
but,
still stuff.
Yeah,
so, like, you know, there's just like a layer of dust on things, and like some of this stuff. Like I borrowed a shop vac from my parents and bought like a special filter that does like the super fine particulate.
Yeah,
so that it'll actually keep it up. So I've like been doing bits and pieces here and there, but I have to do like a few more things, and I'm just like lazy.
But it's hard.
You know, I own a teenager's soul. If
that's
you're,
true.
You know,
that's true. But, you know, like, Salsa, you were excited about a new dishwasher.
Hook me up with some cash. I'll hook you up.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Like, it's the same thing. It's just like, God damn it, young me is like, you piece of shit.
I stayed home from, from work today so they could install that so I could be here.
Yeah.
And I was just on the IM with my work coworkers, just like, I'm so fucking excited right now.
So I did that. The other thing I got, which is a bit of a tease because you can't actually watch it yet because it's not finished. But I got my Kickstarter reward for a short film I backed by Brett Sims, who did one of the shorts we showed, not this year.
Horror short?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not this year, but the first year of the Horseshoe Hot Dog Short Horror Festival. He did Grave Shivers, which is like a little three-part anthology that's like 12 minutes long with really fun stuff, good little tales. And he started doing a new thing. It's called And Dark. It's like a creepy sci-fi thing with... it's kind of vague as far as what's happening, but it sounded cool. And I backed it months ago, and then finally got this package in the mail. I'm like, the fuck is... Oh, cool, that's right, I did send that guy money. So I got, like, my brand new, like, 12x18 print of the poster signed by, like, the director and the cast and everything.
Nice.
Oh, cool. And then, you know, of course, because I got this really awesome thing, I went and spent $8 at Target to get a frame for it.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
That's how I buy frames. But I was like, oh, I need it. I got sweet.
We go to IKEA, so...
Yeah, same idea. I just go, you know, Michael's... Because Michael's actually... is almost always having a sale where you get 2-for-1, and then it's cheaper than Target. Or if they're not having a sale, I go to Target, which is right next door, and then buy the Target one.
I go to Savers and look through all their old
Savers
paintings.
Is good, too. I like just the simple black ones, so depending, it's hit or miss. You know, I know I can get the one I want, and I'm very impatient when I have new art because I want to put it
there. Oh, see, I like finding just the right frame for my art.
Mm. And see, for me, I always go for something simple. I can see how there would be things I would want to find something a little more wonky.
Like my Cherub Angels, I have to have a fancy frame, although they
Which makes sense because I broke the last one.
Because
I can think of like stuff my parents have up in their house that has different frames. And it's like, I can't picture that art without that frame because that's become part of the art to me.
Yep.
But all my stuff is, I think without exceptions, just simple black
frames. Just pretty basic. Sure.
You know, the bit greater concession I do to that is just the fact that I refuse to hang anything in a sensical fashion, really.
Yeah.
So all my art is weirdly staggered all over the walls. That doesn't allow for room between them for another painting sometimes, or other times you can like squeak a small one in. Yeah. And certain friends I have, they're like,
squeak a small one in is my new Led Zeppelin cover band.
I thought that was the name of your second album.
It's the concept album.
I've had more than one person that's come to my place be like, I can't, you don't, because like I've got like all my like 7-inch records on one wall, but they're just spaced randomly.
That's fantastic.
So I just like, me and the boy sat there, and I would just like drive nails in it, and I'd be like, where do you want another one? It's right there. I'm like, here, lower, here, yeah, dunk. And I just put random nails in the wall, and then we just hung records on them. So even if it were to be a completely full wall, it would not be even lines.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It will not ever be able to hold as many records as it could. It will never form even lines or rows or columns.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can tell that immediately. It's because by now there's like 20 of them, so you can tell that's how it's set up, and it drives people insane.
That's fantastic.
And it really upsets them, and I'm like, nah.
I like it, you know.
Yeah, and I really dig it. And like, I did the same thing now in the living room because I've got my two new. I got these watercolor prints from someone I found off the Nerdist. So I got an original print of The Thing, an original one of Friday the 13th that are like artist interpretation posters. So I got those up. I've got my new And Dark poster. I've got like a dwarves poster. I got a Michael Bierhauer piece, and they're all just randomly, weirdly spaced. And people are like, this makes me uncomfortable.
You're like,
it kind of violates every rule of how to put art up. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
Right.
And so like, I'm okay with that.
Yep.
But speaking of art, I did do another podcast this last week, which is the first time for me. I did a show called 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie, which Jay Kistler recommended me to. Is it Rob or Ray? Roy?
I don't remember who does
it. I literally met the dude as we were recording. But it was really fun. Like, I had never heard of it, and then he's just like, I got this email out of the blue. Rob is his name. And I got this email out of the blue from him that was like, hey, you know, Jay said you might be interested in doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so what's the deal? He goes, well, we meet, you know, you send me a list of your, you know, 5 favorite movies. And he goes, don't think about it. Like, don't make it a big deal. Just pick 5 right now that sound interesting. And I'll tell you which one we're going to do. You show up, we talk about it for 10 minutes. Okay. And so, like, I had a meeting with Tim about Fearless Artistic stuff. Dude lives in St. Paul, so we met at the Ginkgo Coffee House, like, a block from Tim's afterwards. And I think we were literally there for 15 minutes. Like, I walk in, I've never met the guy, kind of know what he looks like from stalking him on Facebook. And I walk in, there's a guy with 2 microphones sitting at the table. I'm like, you look like a guy that's about to podcast. And he's like, yep. I sit down and he goes, okay, we're doing Jurassic Park. I'll give you a moment at the beginning to pimp stuff you want to pimp. Then you have 30 seconds to explain the plot of the movie, and that'll be this timer. And then he goes, and then we'll have 10 minutes to discuss the movie. That'll be this timer, and then we're done. I'm like, okay. So it's like,
dude's efficient.
Oh, for sure. No, and it's like, click, go. And he's like, hi, I'm here with Matt. Matt, what would you like to plug? Well, I do, you know, Horse Show Hot Dog, News from Honeytown, Apropos of Nothing, and I've done in like 10 seconds. And he's like, oh, good, you podcast. I'm like, yep.
This will be easy. Yep, actually, right. Less so because and, you won't know when to stop. And the thing is,
there's not even cuts between these.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, Matt, you've got 30 seconds. Tell me about Jurassic Park. I explained the plot of Jurassic Park in 30 seconds. The timer was doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo as right as I go. And Jeff Goldblum's there to smirk through the whole thing.
Right.
And nice. We go, all right. And starting now, we have 10 minutes to talk about the movie. What do you like about this movie? And we go back and forth and talk about plot points and like jokes and things and whatever. And then doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. All right. Thanks for being here. Have a good night, everybody. We're done. I fucking leave. Like, it was literally 15 minutes. I'm like, nice to meet you, man. Yeah, you too. Like, that was it. No preamble. Like, no, we talked a little bit about movies afterwards for just like a minute or two.
That's gotta be...
It was really neat. And I was like, I have no idea if this is like brand new or whatever. Like, no, there's like 300 episodes of this.
Jesus.
And it's like people, you know, like Aaron Kennedy did one not too long ago. Nice. I think she did Big Fish. You know, Jay Kistler's on there. Like, yeah, all these like cool people talking about whatever movies. And so
I'm
like...
I'm intrigued.
It was really, really neat. And they are so bite-sized. That yeah, you know, it's such a smart concept. It's like, yeah, I do like 5 of these in a day. And I'm like, of course, this is so smart. Yeah. You know,
the problem when I was in college, I had to write a paper that was only one
I don't
page
believe
long,
you.
That sounds problematic.
Yeah.
That was only one page long.
Okay.
Mm.
And the paper was all of the things that Disney got wrong about Hercules, like
oh,
from
God.
The myth. Now, try to distill all of that shit into one page.
It's interesting, because it's the opposite of how usually, like, a research paper
exactly.
goes.
Because
instead of drilling down, you're actually, like, going from phylum to kingdom.
Exactly.
To try to save
you
space.
Have to get to the fucking point, roll fast.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, most papers, by the time you finish your opening paragraph, 3/4 of a page is gone.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, and that's what we are all taught is how to stretch. You stretch that shit out. And this was, you have to bear down real... I can only imagine that that's what this podcast was like.
It was an exercise of breathless trying to get to the next thing.
Well, we're so used
and
to...
And the regret on the drive
We're
home.
So used to podcasting an hour long, you know?
What?
Yeah, for sure.
So 10 minutes...
Only an hour. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And like, we did Horse Show Hot Dog last night. And, We had to record on a Monday because I forget, something going on. Like we're having problems with just like holidays and schedules, and you know, Charlie's kid's old enough to have a life. You know, Josh has a life. I got a life. Mm-hmm. Like we're just getting hard and hard to do one consistent night. But so for whatever reason, recording Monday, and we were able to do Monday, assuming we started early and had a hard out at 10:15 because then Charlie had to take his girlfriend to the airport, and it's like, oh, interesting. And working with a time constraint like that. Was really weird because normally we record that show like we do this show, which is okay. We start at like 9:30, 9:45, maybe even 10, and we go till we're done.
Go till you're done, yeah.
And I was like, okay, we started at like 8:45, and had you know until about 10:15 max, so they could get in the car and literally get to the airport in time. And so it was like, okay, so like do the intro, smack. Ready to go? Yep, smack. All right, do the short, do the first movie, talk. Okay, well. We got about a half hour, so I'll give a 5-minute warning on both segments, and we'll get through the next two movies. And I think we hit all the points we wanted to say, but like that kind of it's interesting because I like the idea that like when we do this show or that show, that, you know, we get to let a subject breathe, which I think is important because that's something that not every show gets to do, and we find weird bits of meat on the bone that might get picked over otherwise. But working with a constraint is, you know, sometimes how art thrives, as they say. So, like, it was interesting to go, okay,
oh,
I have
yeah,
to pick
no.
the really big moments.
It does force and you into a different
It is strange. But, yeah, like, style. 10 minutes is astoundingly fast.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about an entire movie. And so, like, trying to make sure you mention, like, the, you know, the nonsense of the T-Rex being able to attack the Jeeps when it's shown moments later the place it came from is a huge cliff.
Yep.
You know, or like the actual spookiness of the like the raptors in the kitchen, that like actually being a tense scene, or the hilarity of like Nedry with the whole like I'm gonna go to the vending machine where he wants to, I'm just gonna get this and just like stuttering his way out to nothingness, and it's like, way to play it cool, nerd.
Yeah.
And like the Dilophosaurus, I don't think we even mentioned that. And it's like, god damn it. And you know, like, oh my god, Samuel L. Jackson's like, you know, arm just disembodied landing on Laura Dern, like, fuck. there's so many cool things. And we try to hit as many. We did mention the T-Rex with the little banner fluttering down that says when dinosaurs rule the earth, which is delightful. But, you know, you try to hit as many as you can, and then you get done, you're like, whew. You know, it's a sprint instead of a marathon.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh, that was really fun. Like, we hit a lot of stuff. We laughed a lot. But we both kind of stayed on it and just kept moving.
Very cool.
And then you go, fuck, on the drive home. And you think of, like, eight other things. Like, that would probably have been a better use of my time. But it was really nice. Rob was really cool. And he's had really good guests. I was just scrolling through the iTunes. I finally subscribed to it. So, like, I'll be going back and listening through some archives of that. Probably not everything, but for the movies I've seen, I think, I'll check that out. But, yeah, it was really fucking cool. So if you haven't checked it out, and I'll let you know, mine will go up probably sometime next month, something like that.
Okay,
sure. I'll let people know on this show once it's available. But yeah, it was really cool. The other one I'll be doing coming up in February, I believe, is when we're recording it. I'm doing an episode of Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe's new podcast. He's doing a podcast now based on the Not-So-Silent Planet, which is his
nice.
You know, speculative fiction, sci-fi, horror open mic that he does that I've done a couple times. And, you know, many people that have been on the show or we've talked about on the show, you know, Tim Wick, Matt Kesson, Pat Harrigan, you know.
People who do stuff like that.
Really cool, awesome people. But he's made a podcast out of that. So he's like, hey, you want to do an episode? I'm like, yeah, cool. And so he's like, all right, so then what you got to do then is pick some kind of thing that falls under our genre. And I'll read it so we can talk about it on the show. I'm like, okay. And I was thinking about it. He kind of pinged me like a week later. He's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. And I was like, does it have to be like a novel? Or do you want like a short story? Or like, what do you want? He was literally anything. I'm like, cool. Play Thomas Was Alone. I'm going to make you play a video game. And we're going to talk about it afterwards.
Nice.
So you can play through it in about 3 hours. It's not that tough, but
I don't think I'm familiar with Thomas.
I think I talked about it briefly on the show, and it's on Steam for like $4. I'm like, and if you want me to buy it for you, Philip, I will. I told him that too. But it is the one where you are, and you can find this on Steam. Thomas Was Alone. You are a little square.
Oh yes,
and it's the people that did. God damn it! I'm blanking on everybody screaming at the Stanley Parable.
Okay,
which is one of the amazing interactive narrator.
Yeah,
this is the next one by them. And so it's your little square, and it just comes in with narrator. Thomas was alone. And you start moving, he goes, he looked around its world, you know, et cetera. Kind of like Stanley Parable does, but you are just a square. Kind of like
Bastion does.
But all you are is a square, and it's a little platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And you work your way through that, and it kind of talks a little bit, and then you get a little farther, and now there's a rectangle.
Yeah.
And now you and the rectangle are working through using each other to help solve puzzles. And now there's you and the rectangle and the wide rectangle. And then eventually there's like eight different things.
And these little shapes all have personalities.
They have strong personalities. Like, not as you play them, but through the voiceover. Because you hear what they're thinking or saying to each other through the narrator. As well as in between levels, you get this information from these people who are outside the computer simulation that you're playing. And what you were essentially...
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, what you're essentially doing... And this is a bit of a spoiler, but it doesn't really matter as far as the gameplay goes. What you're learning is this might be how the singularity happens, is by these little shapes figuring out how to work together and solve problems. Ah. And so it's fits perfectly, I think, speculative fiction, but is, I'm guessing, probably the only video game someone suggested for this podcast.
Right.
And I was like, I gotta be a dick and fuck with Philip. Like, I'm gonna give him a thing that's absolutely not a book.
If you can, you should.
Because, well, the thing is that, and I appreciate that about him, is that he'll trust me, I think, to do that. And if he's like, dude, come on. I'll be like, all right, fine, I got a couple things I could give him. But I really think it would be interesting to talk about this. And I feel like Philip also trusts me enough that he'll dick with me in a way.
Right.
If I were to do a thing, he'll be like, I'm gonna bring you something weird. I'm like, please do. I'll roll with it and we'll make it work. You know, like I respect him as a performer in that regard. And I think he trusts me enough to allow that. So we'll see. Now, maybe he'll get back to me after playing this game and be like, eat a dick. This is awful. Like, you know, I'm fine. Here's a Lovecraft story. But like, you know, we'll go from there. But, I'm looking forward to that one too, but that won't be recorded even until February. It'll probably not go up until
interesting.
March or something like that. But,
Cool.
That's it. Let's take a quick break.
Let's do that.
And we'll find something to talk about later.
I'm sure.
Oh, I've got stuff I haven't talked about. Jesus Christ, you
there
guys.
There we go. I mean, I did open the floodgates.
I had a birthday.
All right. No one likes salsa.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsamattorjenna@aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
Yay.
So, hey, my weekend was absolutely packed with stuff.
All Crazy Go Nuts?
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
I saw Justice Show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Saturday had... actually, I saw Justice Show on Saturday. But before that, she and I went to the Vilification Amateur meetup.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That was this weekend.
Yeah. So I got to meet the amateurs, including... Well, I didn't meet Jessa recently. I met her about 16 years ago.
Oh, Jessa's auditioning.
But yeah, Jessa's going to be trying out.
Oh, good for her. Right on.
So, yeah, she is super excited. She's been writing insults. And there was, of course, a lot of teasing that her mom is in. But there is, I'm not going to say who, but there is another child of a vilifier that is auditioning as well.
Yeah.
It's two of them this year. There's only so many of us that have children that would be old enough to be capable.
Right?
As far as I know, Coda hasn't done it, which eliminates one of the few.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, anyway, I'll tell you about that later. Yeah, because I don't want to have people that don't want to be outed.
We initially had not a ton of people auditioning this year.
And then, like, and suddenly, that last week,
we went from, like, 5 to 12, although I think when 11, I talked about
like
him...
Like, 11.
Well, yeah, because at least one just, like, canceled before the meeting. And like, but I think the original number was even higher.
One canceled before the meeting because was he like was just way too busy, which... Totally get.
Yeah, totally. Say that ahead of time, please.
Yeah. And then we had one no call, no show.
So. But yeah. So I was just like, goddamn. Like, all right. Like, because there was a little bit of like, will we have enough to do an amateur show this year?
Well, and we had a pretty good mix of people that I knew and a few people that I didn't.
So. Cool.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. I love it when it's someone we don't know at all.
Oh yeah,
that's so fun to watch. Like, right. I always look forward to watching the show. Those I don't are, like coaching the show because it makes me nervous. Right. I love watching the show.
So anyway, I am coaching, co-coaching with Nick Glover, the child of the other vilification parent.
Who shall be named later.
Yes.
Or not.
And so that's exciting because they're sending us insults and Nick and I are like, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. It's mostly me being like, yeah, what Nick said.
Yeah, I've never co-coached. I wonder how different that is.
I feel like that might be less stressful for me.
It's
if I'm because you wouldn't do anything.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just that, like, I don't know. I don't like the idea that someone's fate for the show might rest solely upon, you know, the advice I give.
See, that doesn't bother me.
I don't think
so
I know
much.
Anything about Vil.
You know, like, after your first five people get in, it's not a big deal.
The worst.
See, I don't think that's a problem because ultimately it's on them.
It is.
You can give the best advice possible, but they're the ones
but
who have to
I'm not
to
even
deliver.
Aware if I'm giving the best advice. Well, I know what worked for me.
And you maybe not, but the thing is if you're the only person...
And you maybe not.
And you maybe not, but... Well, and maybe I'm not, but the thing is if you're the one giving advice, you're God.
Sure.
And even if it's the bad advice, nobody else knows.
Right.
But if you've got a co-coach, then you've got somebody going...
But we're all... everybody's doing the best they can. Everybody's got the best interest at heart. But, like, the thing is like, and we've talked about this from the different styles. Like, advice for what I go, I would do this, that would not work for other people, even people that are on cast, because they can't speak in that voice. And so, like, I always worry, like, okay, what if I get someone that I go, well, I would do this, this, and this, and it's like, oh, they need someone telling them, like, the Lori way of doing it, or the Salsa way of doing it, or the Mark way of doing it, or the Jenna way of doing it.
And I think there's a Jenna
way to do Vil. I honestly don't know how I do Vil.
Squeaky and giggly.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Like, I really, like, I've never thought about how I do Vil. I just...
It's hard to
go up there and freak out, and people find me entertaining.
I can tell everybody else on the cast what their style is, but ask me mine, and I'm like, I don't know.
It can be nebulous for people, but like, it's one of those things where you know it when you see it. You can be like, yep, that's it, or like, that's not her style or his style. Like, you can just kind of tell.
Well, like, so my amateur sent an insult, and I was like, oh, that is such a Lori insult. Like, and I could just, like, if Lori delivered that, I would laugh at it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, something like
so
that.
So it just becomes like, will that match up with that person's delivery style?
Well, and that's just it. Like, you know, some of them, you look at it, and I'm like, man, it really depends on how you deliver it. But we're going to have some meetups, so we'll be able to play with it.
Sure, and you got a long time, because the show's in, what, April?
February.
Oh, February. That's right. We moved it up.
Yeah.
That's right.
You keep saying we, like you're still involved, asshole.
Well, I mean, that conversation happened while I was. So, but it's happening earlier than it has in the past.
Yeah.
To give folks some chance to kind of cut their teeth.
How does that feel?
Yeah.
Good.
Really?
Really good. Yeah. No, I do not regret that decision. I was a little worried I might. But I did.
I never thought you would regret it.
Well, no, but
it's still a little surreal.
I did. Leaving Vilification Tennis is a decision that I spent a good. The first time I brought it up was probably 5-6 years ago. Where I was like, maybe I kind of suck at this now. And then, you know, kept doing it, had fun. We did newer things, and the show kind of stayed fresh, and I felt like I was able to... Like, the heavier I got in the improv, the more comfortable I felt for a while.
Sure.
But, you know, I really, truly thought about it for about 2 years before I finally kind of made the decision. So, like, I was pretty comfortable with it, but you still, you never know. And it's just like, okay, well, when the next show comes up, and it's like, oh, that sounds like fun, and I'm not available to do it, like, will I be like, fuck, maybe just like, eh. And everybody's like, well, we'll just do one more year. You said these two themes sound really fun. I'm like, that will always be the case, though. You know, like, there's never a time where it won't be fun to do that show, because that is a fun show. So, I was worried, but, like, I've gone and seen a show or two now since I left, and it's really fun to just sit and watch. Like, I really enjoy it.
I mean,
that.
Like, when I left Fondazzi, it was not my decision. I couldn't have gone back.
Sure.
But I still sometimes refer to them as, like, when I'm talking to people who I don't know online, it's just like, yeah, well, the troupe that I used to be a part of... Yeah. Did things this way.
Guildtown was a longer relationship than any of my marriages. You know, like...
Possibly all of them combined.
Not all combined, but... Because I was married before I started Ville.
Okay, but so. Like the amount of time you spent married.
Right, but not, no.
But there were breaks in between.
I don't think so. Yeah, there were some breaks, but I still think like it would outlast any one of them, but I think all of them combined is probably longer. Because Ville 10 was 14 years? Like
I think you're about 14.
And I think all told, if I add it up, it's close to like...
No, I did 14 years, so you did 17.
Because I started, what, 2002?
You were the year after I was, and I just got my 15 year, so I was doing it for 14 years.
No, I got my... When did I start?
No,
was it 2002?
I thought
it was 2002.
I thought you guys started the same time. I started 2001.
No, you were in Ville already,
because
I was
a year after me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just got my 15-year award this last year, and I started Ville the year after.
Okay.
So 13 years.
Okay, so I did 12. So then definitely longer married. But
I swore you were longer.
That's what she said. But at any rate.
No,
I mean, that's a long-ass time to do anything. So suddenly switching it off and being like, not referring to it in like the royal
way. Oh, yeah.
Takes a little doing, you know? So yeah, like I definitely find myself like, oh yeah, you know, the way we do that is like, no. Boy, the show. Like, I never claim to be a vilifier, but I will still say we when I talk about Ville 10.
And it's still,
when we talk theory, it's still our theory. We have the same theory of comedy.
When I'm talking about the past, you know, something that we did do, then I still tend to say we.
Yeah, well, as I think you can, because you were part of that, you know.
But things afterwards, I still kind of sometimes go, well, what we do is what the troupe that I used to be a part of still does,
right?
Is this.
Well, that's like, yeah, like with the amateur show, I wouldn't say like we picked so and so, or when we did when the convergence show happens, I wouldn't say we're going to, I'd be like they are going to, you know. But so anyway, you've got your vilifier spawn that you're coaching. Interesting.
So I've got that, and then of course I'm also, you know, talking with Jess on the side, but I've told her very specifically, like, I'm your mom, and everything that I think about what you're doing is going to be biased. Everything. So you can listen to what I say, but, you know, after hearing it, decide if that's appropriate for you or not.
Yeah. Like, if Coda or the boy ever decided to try out, I'd be like, cool. I will tell you what I think about your stuff. You will absolutely get a different coach.
Yeah.
You need someone that, you know, will care about your success, but not be me. That's just the smarter way to do it, you know?
So. So that was exciting.
Nice.
And then I also saw Klingon Christmas Carol.
Oh, awesome. How was that?
Oh, it's good. It is absolutely delightful.
Awesome. Excellent.
I'm so excited.
Megan and I were talking about trying to figure out when we can.
And there was much bat-lithing.
And there is much bat-lithing. We've had a couple of reviews, and everybody talks about the bat-lith.
So. Nice. Good.
You know.
Fist bump.
I mean, curse the French.
Yeah. Bark, 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 bark,
bark, bark. But yeah, so like nobody's gonna mention me by name unless they're like really in a stage combat. And was
but
like,
your fighting is in there. Yeah.
But yeah, people who are like batlets are cool. I'm like, okay, I helped make them look cool.
Nice.
But yeah, the cast itself actually does a fantastic job. And it's Calvin Hatley.
I do love Calvin.
He plays Scrooge, the Scrooge character.
Ah, gotcha.
And he's just perfect. He's so perfect for that role. You have a finger to your mouth.
Speaking of that, did you see the Vilification Tennis review?
I did.
Someone reviewed Ville 10?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody reviewed Ville 10 on
Twin
Cities
Geek.
Yeah,
you left,
Geek.
And somebody finally decided we were worth mentioning.
Somebody reviewed it on Twin Cities Geek and specifically mentioned Jenna
Yep.
And her work with...
And her Porishness.
With Human Combat Chess.
Oh, with Human Combat Chess.
Yeah, Jenna and Gregory.
And yes.
Oh,
yes.
Excellent. Nothing about the show that they saw. Awesome.
No, lot about the show.
Almost everything was about Ville. And then at the very end, she was like, it's always interesting to see what kind of crossover in our small theater community.
Oh, so much crossover.
Right?
Yeah.
Seeing you guys in that and other people in other things and stuff like that. But it was a really good write-up.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh, that's
but,
awesome.
But you mentioned nobody's going to mention you by name, and I was like, this other article did.
Yeah. I got Vilton cred.
And Combat Chess cred.
And Combat Chess cred, which is always nice. So. And then after that, I had a director's meeting for Harbingers.
Awesome.
Which is a show that Fearless is going to be putting on.
Mm-hmm.
We have auditions coming up. The
which I just discovered I cannot go to.
And the 18th.
Auditions are December 15th and 18th.
18th, yep. So Thursday night or right Sunday morning into afternoon.
Yes.
And you should come audition for it. It's five shorter plays.
Mm-hmm.
With
it's like five little one acts.
Five different directors, five different writers. We're going to reuse a bunch of the same cast. And all of them are fantastic. Like, we've done some read-throughs and stuff, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, real quick, that's Thursday, December 15th from 7 to 9, and Sunday, December 18th from 11 to 2.
Yep.
So if you're local, and performance dates will be February 10th, 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th.
Yes.
But yeah, the idea is to make like a small stable of actors, like maybe 8 to 10, and then use them through all five. So,
yeah.
A chance to play at least a couple different characters.
Yep.
Throughout the night, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm bummed I can't do it.
Oh, well, and Jessa's...
a week of that in Florida.
So Jessa is... Oh, your life is that. Jessa's bummed she can't audition because Ville 10 Amateur Show is one of those nights.
Oh, is it really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's the 24th. There's no way she's doing the show and then doing Ville right after.
Yeah,
like,
that's rough.
No.
Yeah. Not Ville for your
audition,
amateur show.
Ville audition nope. Is
nope. Yeah, you want to focus on that. You want to focus on either one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, pick one.
Especially when you're young. Like, you don't want to spread yourself too thin when you're that young. Like, you want to give it the time and attention those things deserve.
Yep.
That would be a rough
Which is too bad, because, like, both of those would be awesome to do.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's another thing you got to learn is you can't do it all.
Oh, I hate that lesson.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
No, but that's the thing is, if you get them young, maybe they won't turn into crotchety old theater people.
Honestly, it's too late for Jessa. She was born an old man.
That's true.
This is the child that would at festival be allowed to like stay up and do things, and she's like, "It's 8:30. I'm going to bed." I'm like, "What the fuck, child?" So yeah, she's like 40. Basically.
When did we become crotchety old theater people?
I'm not crotchety. Mm-hmm. You're crotchety. Get off my lawn.
Okay, then.
So, yeah. That was pretty much my weekend. Wasn't sick.
That's always good.
Sucker.
Yeah, my poor wife last weekend had strep throat over the weekend. So it was just like... She was like, guess what's going to happen next weekend? I don't know. It's going to suck.
Oh, God.
So. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
I think we're losing energy.
I think we are.
Should we move
God,
on
do you know
to...
what would actually really help?
to pep up some energy?
Yeah, to pep up some energy. Like, as we're hitting this lull, just something to give us a little boost.
Little pick-me-up.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Go on.
And cocaine's not legal.
No.
Yet. A man can dream.
Marijuana is the gateway legalization.
You know what? If that works, fine. Yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, but what we need now is a little cup of the brown stuff.
Coffee. Rephrase.
Coffee.
Okay.
Coffee.
I like coffee.
And, you know, if you're going to get coffee, I think everybody at home already knows that you want True Stone.
Of course.
Of course.
Instead of extolling the virtues of True Stone, I'm going to tell a tale.
Ooh.
Ooh.
As everybody knows, we get a little bag of True Stone because they sponsor Apropos of Nothing. And we got a bag of True Stone coffee, and it was a dark roast. And my wife does not like dark roast.
Sure.
And she was like, I'm not going to have dark roast in the coffee pot. I would drink it, but that would mean it would she would also have to drink it, and she doesn't like it.
Sure.
That was just so good.
So she was like, well, you know, that can go to either Matt or Jenna. And I was like, Matt and Jenna both have coffee right now.
Yeah, I think the last one I got was a dark roast. I was excited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah. But we.
I generally prefer the light roasts, but I'll
take dark roast.
Yeah.
So we had this bag of dark roast, and she was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give this to my coworker as a Christmas present.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. So she, not just her coworker, her not supervisor, coordinator. Her coordinator.
Okay.
So she brings this coffee to her coordinator as kind of a Christmas present. And the next day, her coordinator comes back and fucking loved it.
Of
fucking
course.
Loved it.
Nice.
Found out she's from Seattle.
Oh.
And so she loves her coffee.
And she knows coffee.
And she knows coffee. Turns out later, Matt, you'd like her. Apparently she and her husband used to be in a punk band.
Oh.
She apparently has a homebrew kit sitting in her basement that she just hasn't done anything with. Basically, this person was just like, why are you not... Like, why do we not already know each
right?
other?
Yeah. Like, right. You sound like you're ready made. Like, you're like friend
oh my
in the
God.
Box.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Did they bond over True Stone?
They kind of bonded over True Stone. Not only did they bond over True Stone, but another teacher wandered by, wondered what they were talking about. And the teacher, or the coordinator, started raving to her about True Stone. And so guess what, True Stone? You may be getting not one, but two new customers using the promo code
Epipos.
So that's my tale. All it takes is the first one's free. and then you buy the rest of them. But that's how good that coffee is. Is not only did she go on to be a convert, but she started converting others.
I did record an episode this last weekend of the Does a Decade Matter podcast with Dennis and Heather, who
Sistera.
Yep, who have been doing that show for quite a while. And I've done I think two episodes of them previously. And they wanted to continue last year's tradition of a very Swayze Christmas. And
yes.
So I was like, well, I've got the boy this weekend, but if you guys want to come over here, you know, we can certainly watch a movie and record a podcast.
Nice.
So we had the Zisteras and Megan and the boy, and we all watched Point Break.
Yes.
and then sat in my kitchen.
Oh, my God.
On a table with all of us, the boy, Megan, and the Zisteras, yes. and myself, and recorded a podcast about Point Break.
Yes.
It was so much fucking fun.
Oh,
and
God.
One of the things we talked about was like, you know, like, hey, anybody want coffee? And they'd be like, dude, that True Stone. I'm like, right? Because they ordered it from True Stone based on our recommendation of the podcast. And like, yeah, that's how fucking good it is. Like, it does come up in conversation now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how good it is, where people are like, you guys did that. Like, and you know, we've talked before about how people will still mention it from conversions. Like,
yeah.
It is that good. And so, yeah, my roommate's like, I got the good coffee, yo. And I'm like, Eric, I'll make coffee this morning. And then I make coffee.
You got the good coffee, but I got the great coffee.
And he does
buy
good coffee. He knows
but
what's
I
up.
Got the great
yeah, he's
coffee.
Not stupid. Yeah. He knows good coffee, but I have True Stone coffee.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. a whole other thing. It's just like, it's next level.
Yeah.
You know? Not only did my wife sell her coordinator on the coffee, but apparently she also, like, that night listened to an episode of this show.
Yay!
So,
hello and welcome if you're
hi.
Still
there. Absolutely.
Sorry if we've embarrassed anybody.
I will not mention you by name, but welcome to the
ooh,
show.
Protect the
and absolutely have us over, and I will help you brew that beer kit.
Yeah. And honestly, yeah, like, as someone who has spent some time homebrewing and Salsa spent a lot more than me, it is really fun.
Yeah.
It is really, really fun, and it's surprisingly easy.
I love watching everybody nerd out on their homebrewing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't beer, so there's not as much of a payoff for me if I were to get into
it. I like the process as much as anything else.
But watching people nerd out about the process and the different mm-hmm. flavors, even though I think the hops is disgusting, like, just watching people love and enjoy that
I think the
process
best,
and the outcome is fantastic.
The best part to me, I think, of homebrewing, though, is still... I mean, almost always when I did it, it would be either myself and either, like, Taffy or Angus, or myself and Porter, or myself and Justin Smurf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never homebrew alone. That's boring. So you'd have
sure.
a friend over,
I
and
do.
You'd, like, pick a Saturday. Well, sure, but that's because you're, like, actually trying to, like, create decent beers and, like, working on
yeah.
improving.
You're being
but
an artist.
For me, it was a social thing. So, like, yeah. I'd always have at least one
oh,
or
no,
sometimes...
I much prefer it being
yeah.
social, absolutely.
You know, but I'd have at least one, sometimes multiple of those people over, and it would be like, all right, Saturday. We're going to head over to the homebrew store at, like, 11 a.m., and we're going to just sit in the kitchen, and we're going to mess around. We'll have some snacks. We'll drink a few beers. We'll do some brewing. We'll do whatever. We'll wait. And then when this is done, we'll clean up, and then we start dinner.
Yeah.
And then we have a couple more friends, or our wives get home, and then we all have dinner
together. Make a day out of it.
And it's just like, yeah, you know what? And it's like, it is a really good kind of camaraderie activity that is something for adults to do that, like, and again, like, I'm biased in this, and I've said this before, like, I don't like board games and stuff like that, the kind of things a lot of our friends do to kind of get together and spend time together where they need a purpose. Like, I like the idea of, like, let's end up with a meal at the end of this. So let's end up with a beer at the end of this. Like,
oh, yeah. Dinners are
fun. I love that. And so, like, that was, to me, always kind of the best part. Like, and, you know, most recently, it was always, like, me and Justin Smurf.
Right.
Picking up stuff, working on a beer all day, putting that to get, you know, putting that to bed, and then having a couple hours before, like, Trampy and Greta would get home to start working on a meal so that when everybody else finally showed up, it was just like, bam, here's, like, your five-course meal, like, ready to go. And it's like,
yes,
wine and everything.
Satisfying. Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, cool. Huge meal, now you're stuffed. You go sit on the couch and you watch a movie or something, and it's just like, what a great day. And it was relatively inexpensive.
We need to do that more often again.
Right? It's really nice.
It's been a while.
Yeah, those kind of moments are really great. And so, yeah, homebrewing is a really good one to just spend some time with, you know, your significant other or your friend or whatever. Like, it's a good hobby for that, I think.
Speaking of which, you should mark your calendars.
Oh,
what?
March 4th is going to be Febtoberfest 2017.
Yeah.
So do not have a show or anything like that on that day. Yep, Saturday, March 4th is going to be Febtoberfest 2017.
Yeah, that's going in my calendar right now.
And I'm not sure what I'm going
to
make
yet. You have to fill time. Keep talking.
Yeah,
Keep talking about Febtoberfest.
I started trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and last year I was thinking of doing a wild rice lager. But I don't have enough time right now to do a lager.
Sure.
And then I was like, maybe I could do a lambic. And then I went, no, lambics take way too long. Also, shit, why? I need something that doesn't take a year to make. And I've made a lot of sweet beers for the past few years, so I'm wondering maybe I'm going to do, like, either an IPA or I might...
are you doing for a cider?
I might...
Because that's what I care about.
I don't have time to make a cider, because ciders also take a year.
You're fired.
I've got mead.
Well, okay then.
I have mead. I have a fucking keg of mead. Jesus Christ, what do you want from me?
Your mead.
Also,
and your cider.
The mead, yeah. So I might do like an IPA or maybe just like a red. I might do a Flanders. Flanders red.
Like a Ned Flanders?
No, a Flanders red.
But you will name it.
Yeah, you're going to name it the Ned Flanders.
A little bit of sour in there.
The Ned Flanders
kind
red.
Kind of the Belgian sour type thing. That might want to be.
All right.
All right, but I'll figure something out.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what?
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
I'm still, like, chugging through some really old-ass Fast Fives because it's really funny to me. This one comes to us from November 28th, so it sounds au courant until you realize it's from 2012.
Yep.
This one comes from Sean Pitre.
Sean Pitre!
We should mention, speaking of Sean Pitre, we owe Sean some quarters.
We do. Yeah. We owe him some money.
We do.
Some American dinero.
American dollars.
Well, not dollars.
Well, no. I mean, it adds up to dollars.
Well, it does add up.
But Sean, just to make
Sean
sure you know.
Sean was so wonderful for a little backstory. Sean sent us a whole bunch of Canadian money.
To show us that technically they have functioning money in Canada.
That's
not
plastic.
Sold on this idea, yeah.
What the hell?
I still have it sitting over here.
No, it's literally like right in the labs, yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, we said we'd send him back all the state quarters, and we worked on finding him really hard for a little while, and then got distracted.
Then we forgot.
But we got a gift from mother-in-law.
Yep, my mother-in-law showed up at my doorstep with a one of these state quarter board folder.
What'd you call it?
Folder.
The collector's display.
Little, yeah, it's a map of the United States with a slot for each of the coins.
Yeah.
That her son had started, God knows how long ago, and had never finished. But it already had a few of the coins filled in, and between my efforts and Matt's working at a place that has a lot of coins, we have gotten most of them.
Yeah.
I did nothing.
We've got... what's up, Hollywood? So we're down to, like, I think it's like 8 that we need. I will say, Sean Pitre, the bonus is that because it's taken so long, I'm also going to include things that came out after the end of the initial run of state quarters. So you will also, in addition to all the different states which are included in this thing with like the special slots, we're going to send you both Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., which came out in 2009, the year after all the other states. So you can have the pseudo states as well. But yeah, that is rapidly nearing completion. We'll let everybody know once that's ready, and then we'll send that off to Sean. Let's see. Well, now Salsa's, I think, taking a call for work,
yeah,
is
what
my guess.
Yeah, fuck? God so, damn it. That's
I guess
not okay.
That's what it's like to get paid well, maybe.
I don't know. Like, so. I get paid pretty well, but I don't have to take late night calls.
I don't get paid very well, and I don't have to take late.
Haha. You're doing it wrong. I think I'm the only one doing this right.
Yeah, it could be. Well, here's what we can do.
Well,
I was not going to say the hustle. I'm still not thinking the hustle. You are, though. That's cool. That you want to do the hustle.
Do the hustle.
Yes.
Do the hustle.
This is still happening.
Do the hustle.
Anyway.
Do the hustle.
Okay, he might be
okay.
A while. So yeah, we're gonna move on. So here's our fast five.
Okay, fast five.
Answers in a second email, as they should be. Theme should be evident by the first question alone.
Oh.
Question one. Make it so, or tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Oh, I love everything about this question.
I'm gonna go favorite catchphrase from Picard. I'm gonna go with make it so.
It's gotta be, yeah. Although, which do you think you're more likely to use in your life? I'm going to say tea Earl Grey. Hot.
And see, I don't ever say that so that I'm not that guy. Like, yeah. I avoid saying that because I think that's just, even for me, is a little too geeky.
Ooh, this will get tricky. But I'm more likely to order tea.
Okay. I do like tea.
Than to be like, make it so. There he is. What?
And he's back just in time to weigh in on question one, which is?
Salsa.
I'm on call right now, so I had to take
a
business.
You didn't tell us that.
I mean, it was implied.
You forgot.
Question one, make it so or tea, Earl Grey.
Oh, make it so.
All right. Question two.
It's the more memorable, I think.
Question two, Darmok or Jalad? J-A-L-A-D? I have no idea what
those
are.
It's that stupid thing that nerds say when they think they're being clever.
Oh, my God. It's from an episode.
It's from an episode. I know what it is. It's from an episode.
It's from an episode.
It's talking about different ways of people communicate because this group communicates by shared reference as opposed to actual words, but they try to be clever with it all the fucking time, and it drives me crazy.
I love that episode.
The episode itself is really good, but they have overused
the fans
it. Fans have made it insufferable.
Okay.
So I'm going with the second.
So they've weedened it.
Yes.
Yeah.
God
exactly.
I don't
the episode,
know.
No, yeah, the episode's really good, but the fans have fucked it up.
I don't know what. I don't remember that particular episode. I've probably seen it because I think I've seen all of that series.
But anyway.
So I guess to me, I'm going to go with the D one.
You're going to go with the D?
Am I right? I'm going with the D.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway, three?
Jalad.
All right. Question three. Sisko, Janeway, or Archer?
That's...
I guess that's your non-two original captain.
Sterling Archer.
Oh. Technically, it's open to interpretation at this point. There's no context. I would also say Sterling Archer. I never watched DS9, and I didn't watch
Neither did
Voyager.
Sisko.
But not my thing.
Here's the thing. Your favorite non. I'm caught between Janeway and Sisko, because I have that whole chick thing going, and I do like the character as a concept for Janeway, but I didn't feel like the rest of the storyline surrounding that was very good.
And I'm told DS9 eventually becomes a good story.
Yeah, and Sisko started off, you know, okay, we're a Star Trek thing, and then it like started to get a little darker and a little more real, and then by the end of it you're like, oh, holy shit, this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go Sisko just because
I only ever watched The Next Generation, really. It's like the original watched, and The Next
like,
Generation.
Yeah, the only one I've watched like with authority is
I'm
The
just,
Next Generation.
I'm not a Trekkie.
I've seen
I never
some
got
of
the
originals.
It.
I've seen a couple of Deep Space Nine and Boy.
I really never
I think
into
maybe
Star
an
Wars.
Episode and
Star
Is there an area that I'm nerdier than you guys in?
This is certainly it then. If
more
you've
than
more
I think
this.
So. All right. Let's do this.
Question four. Short burst of warp speed or tugging on your shirt when you stand up? I'm going tugging on your shirt.
Tugging on your shirt.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. I love that shit.
I think I have to go with tugging on your shirt.
Tugging on your shirt when you stand up.
And
or the Riker sit. That's another
one. The Riker sit is amazing. Yeah. I love the Riker sit. Because I actually do that, and then I found out later that that's like a joke.
Yeah.
That like he does that. I'm like, oh, I've always just thinks I'm a really tall guy, and so I can just step over a chair and sit down.
Yeah.
But like apparently that's like something with him having a bad back.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just, it's really funny once you
or
see it.
Or a bad hip or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Same thing for, is it, Martin Sheen in West Wing puts on his coat in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's because he has a bad shoulder.
He puts his arms in and then flips it over
and
his head.
Goes, yeah, like, and just it's this weird, like, flappy motion. And it's like, that's weird, but it's like, that's the way it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love that. Question five. Four or five?
How many lights are there, gentlemen?
I don't know what that means.
I mean, there are four lights, but I thought it was going to be the movie four or five.
I kind of thought so at first, but there are four lights.
No, you know what? I'm going with there are five lights.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really?
They're fucking five lights. I, for one, welcome our overlords.
I'm going
for it. All right, guys, here we go. Question one. Make it so or tea Earl Grey hot? Favorite catchphrase? I'm sticking with make it so.
Yep.
I like that one.
I probably have to switch.
Question two. Darmok or Jalad? Whom would you rather meet at Tanagra? Tanagra?
It's kind of a part of the same
Tanagra
thing, but yeah.
Right.
I think we all chose acceptably well.
I don't think it matters. Yeah. No. Question three. Cisco, Janeway, or Archer? Favorite captain that was not Kirk or Picard? I've definitely seen Archer fly a plane, so I think I still win.
Sterling
Archer.
Archer. Yeah. Sterling Archer. You Jesus win. Christ. Fuck you. I win.
We all win. With Archer.
Oh, God.
Four, short burst of warp speed or tugging on your shirt when you stand up. Most effective, quote-unquote, Picard maneuver. I feel like the tugging on the shirt probably solves more problems as far as making it look good than the burst of warp speed did. That's so good. That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely solved a lot of problems with the short burst, but did he have just a smooth front time?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And it's all about putting up a good front, so.
There you go. And then lastly, question four or five, how many lights do you see? I don't remember that episode.
There are four lights.
What are this?
It's a Borg psychological thing.
Oh, it's a Borg thing.
Where it's basically
gaslighting him.
Oh, teaching you not to trust your own.
It's not technically... It kind of falls on... Anyway.
It's the futuristic... Yeah. I say it is the sun. Well, bless me, it is the blessed sun.
Hmm.
I think you lost him again.
It's Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
Okay.
Oh, I've never seen that.
You uncultured swine.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Mm. But yeah, no, it is basically a psychological thing.
Plugs.
And yeah. Klingon Christmas Carol, bitches. You got a couple more weekends. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mounds Theater. You can get your tickets. You can reserve tickets.
Matinees on
you
Sunday,
can
right?
get, yep. You can get, well, late matinee is what I'd call it. It's like 4:30.
Yeah.
But you can get VIP seating. With your VIP ticket, you get a free concession. And you get a table up front. So I recommend that. It's a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything specific coming up anytime soon. I mean, I guess the simple one. Next week, actually, is going to be heavy with Fearless Fruit.
Oh, my God. Because
we have
so much.
Fearless Lab
on
Tuesday.
Can I actually go next? Because then I have to go deal with it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You should go to Casimir the Hungry, all one word.
I know that guy.
CasimirTheHungry.threadless.com. And buy Casimir the Hungry merchandise.
Yeah.
Oh.
Your shit, son.
And now I got to go do some work.
All right.
Get out of here. Nobody likes you anyway, Salsa.
So then, we will have next week. We've got, I think it's three Fearless shows next week?
We've got
Fearless Lab on Tuesday.
Lab.
Double Blind on Thursday. And then do we have a PowerPoint karaoke on...
I think we do have PowerPoint karaoke.
I'm going to pull up my event page on Facebook because I can't remember what day it is.
Friday.
I believe it's Friday, right?
I think it's Friday.
I just don't want to get it wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's Friday. Let's just say it's Friday, because everybody should go to Fantasy Flight Games anyway.
That's true. Even if you show up on the wrong day, you'll still have other fun shit to do.
Oh, my God, so, right?
There you go. But
although
yeah.
PowerPoint karaoke at Fantasy Flight, I'm going to remind everybody of the deal. So you show up, mm-hmm. and then you buy
That's
your
the
food.
First part of doing yeah. any show.
Show up at Fantasy Flight, and you buy your food. You hold on to your receipt. You bring that receipt to the door for PowerPoint show, and you get like some money off of your ticket. And you're going to get a receipt or a ticket for the show. You hold on to that because after the show is done, you go back into the games area and you grab a couple games and you get a certain percentage off of your game purchase.
Nice.
It's seriously like the best money-saving deal ever.
Yeah, they managed to let you double dip on their yeah. own discounts, which is
they're like, discount rare. For the show, discount for the games. What? Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah. So, and again, you can find out anything that Fearless is doing by liking and following Fearless Comedy Productions on Facebook. Always your best bet. I haven't been here in a couple weeks, but so it's a little late to say this. But, hey, you know, I know we talked about Give to the Max Day coming up, so thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
That helps support that, and that's why we get through the shows like the ones we just talked about.
Right. Oh, my God, that is another thing I have to plug.
Mm.
Speaking of Fearless stuff, Die Laughing is coming up.
Oh, so quickly.
And with that, we currently have at dielaughingmarathon.com the only, well, like there's the homepage, but then the other page that is currently in existence is an application to perform for Die Laughing. Yes.
What?
If you want to be a part of Die Laughing, if you want to be a performer for Die Laughing,
okay.
an application to perform for Die Laughing.
Performer application.
An application to perform.
A performer's application to perform.
Yes.
Applicably.
Applicably?
An applicable perf-
Take that,
You
sucker.
Win this round, Jenna.
Excellent. But, yeah. So, we're taking applications until we are booked.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we'll probably take applications past that. We like to have a little bit
we'll
of a wait list in case somebody needs to drop, because that does happen from time to time. People get sick. We're all human beings. But I start booking at the beginning of January.
Nice.
Which means if you have your application in and you've already specified what times work best for you on the application, it makes it that much easier for me to be able to offer you a spot that you can actually
yeah,
take.
You get a much better shot at getting a time
yeah,
you can show up for.
Exactly. So getting the applications in early is really your best bet.
And the more flexible you can be with the times you're available, the
right.
better your shot of getting scheduled.
Exactly.
Because sometimes that is the only deal breaker, is that people are only available in a limited time,
yep.
and so are other people, and it's first come, first serve in that regard.
Yeah. There is a certain amount of, once I start booking.
Yeah, once we lock in a time with someone to confirm
once
it,
I start booking,
there.
I'm booking.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, get that form in early. If you've wanted to try something, that's pretty much what Fearless is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And Die Laughing is a really great area to be able to try a half an hour show out and
yes.
see how that goes.
And I will say too, I will submit, that there will be a chunk of Fearless Lab during Die Laughing. So if you are someone who would like to try performing or try something new, but it's not enough to fill a half hour or an hour,
yeah.
Once we know when that Fearless Lab is, I'll then also, you know, have some feelers out to find folks that want to fill that time.
Excellent.
And I would love it to be, as much as I, you know, the folks that have been doing the show regularly or semi-regularly are appreciated, because we need that for the monthly shows. If for Die Laughing, I'll take some folks that have never done it ever, because that's a great opportunity to do that, to really
right.
show what that show's for. So,
yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind, because that show won't be for a little while yet, so you got a little time to let an idea percolate.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can come up with your new idea or your concept, or, you know, you and a friend want to come up with a show you can do together to fill that time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great opportunity. Many cool things have kind of sprung from that have turned into
yeah.
either regular shows or feature shows here and there. So.
And, yeah. And we will be at the Phoenix Theater this year.
Yeah, new venue this year.
So that means that we can do a little bit more with, like, lighting and sound stuff.
Yeah, our tech options will
be there. And, yeah, it'll be, again, a real theater. So, you know. did I mention real theater, actual stage?
Yay.
Like, for real seating and everything.
It should
be neat. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah,
so.
Certainly more comfy chairs than, you know, the... the conference room chairs little, you get from the hotel. As good as the hotel was to us every year.
Yeah.
Because that's the place we do Convergence. Like, they're great. Yep. But this is set up more more adequately for our needs.
Exactly.
The hotel is perfect for Convergence, which is a convention, which is what hotels do.
What?
We're doing theatrical shows, which is what theaters do.
I don't understand.
It's a leap of logic that's really okay. hard to follow, but...
You know what? I'm sure it'll work out.
Trust me on this one. So that said, I think...
DieLaughingMarathon.com.
Yes. And check that out, and obviously we'll be pimping that as it gets closer. And remember, that's one you can watch from anywhere in the world once we get the live stream up and running for the event, so... stay tuned. Here's some fun stuff. Check out some neat people. We've plugged everything. We've said everything. We feel good. We all feel good. We're in a good place. I feel good. I feel good about this. It's a good show.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That said, have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon, and eat the fucking cake.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Spike.
Talk, talk, talk.
Spiking.
Okay.